It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, July 5th, Monday. I'm back. Miss me? Well, I missed you. I have been busy. Busy. And, you know, the one thing that I wanted to make sure that you guys knew, we were busy. And I'm glad we got to broadcast a little bit from Pork Fest in New Hampshire the week before last. And there are a lot of people that I got to meet, a lot of things I want to tell you about, a lot of things I want to share with you. And over the last week, and you know, the world can't hold together while I'm gone. I go away 1 week and the whole thing falls apart. You know, it's just, that's just the way it is. Is that the way it is? I reckon so. This is the beginning. You know, a lot of people think, oh, we're in the middle and we're, you know, it's kind of, we're on a way out and the recession is over and we're saying no. And we've been talking about this for a long time. And now when I say things, you know, little catchphrases I have and so on, it has a lot of history behind it. Those that have been regular listeners to the show, you know that I've been saying it. Maybe you don't understand or agree with what I'm talking about, but let me give you an example. I always am saying, you know, it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. You'll see all the signs of things that are coming, and you're going, yeah, but you know, we're America, MK, America. America never let that. America will get, when we're America, we'll come out somehow America. And that is based on what? Well, there is some value. There is some, just having optimism. I mean, this is what Carter in his malaise speech back in 79 or so, what he was talking about. Hey, it's a crisis of confidence. You know, if it was just, look, it's not really that bad. If you quit whining about being that bad, it wouldn't be that bad. Well, you know, I mean, there's some truth to that, but there was fundamental foundational reasons why it was that bad. Why do we have, you know, then you get built up and propagandized into this flag-waving, patriotic, nationalistic, it's just because we're America. But there are fundamental problems that cannot be ignored. There is no way we're going to get away from what's coming. Because, it's here. Then you hear me say things like, okay, you know, the other shoe's about to drop, you hear a lot of people say. No, we just took the first shoe off to smell the smelly sock. It hasn't even begun yet. I use my family a lot as examples and so on, and I have my son and daughter-in-law, they're having their second child in about a month and a half. She wants to get her house. I mean, dang, get me in a house. Now, that keeps going back and forth and bank, and they make an offer, and they go check, and it's got problems, or they go and they pull on that, and they're doing another one, and they're going back, and it's a short sale. Then they got to deal with, you know, people are still living there as they're going with the banks, and they're going, and then what's going to happen? Right after they buy it, it's going to drop another 15%. But interest rates are still relatively low now, in the 5% something. Where are they going to go? Is it now you go ahead and buy it, even though you may pay a little bit more because you can buy a home and get financing? Lots of things are changing. We'll talk about it when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hello, hello, hello. We're going to get right back to it. I want to make sure that you guys know about something that we have been tracking for a long time. It's going to get bad, and it's going to get to where, you know, where are you going to go? What are you going to trade? What are you going to have? But. Well, it's going to get down as the dollar is going to eventually plummet. Interest rates on the bond are going to soar. You're going to have it. It's getting later today. I sent out a bunch of stories to be posted by one of our posters, and a couple of them are Germany and Spain and a lot of countries in Europe that are ready to go. Illinois, you know, or is it Indiana? One of the eyes in the Midwest, the states now, I don't have it in front of me, but they are already stopping paying the bills of the state. What does this mean? You know, what's going to happen? How are you going to trade? What are you going to do? Well, one of the people that I met up in Porkfest at the New Hampshire, it's a Free State Project event where you have just a bunch of anarchists, you know, a bunch of libertarians, a bunch of leave me aloneist. You know, they're up there going, oh, we know it's going to go. I mean, we're not going to try and save the system. There are a lot of people that want to, you know, we got to save America, MK, America. We got to save America. Whatever that is, what, the government, they need help. Heck, they give you the option on their IS form. You can, you know, send in extra money to pay down the debt. Those guys, you know, or are there other people that look, man, we just got to survive this thing. You know, the dinosaur is coughing up blood. You know, it's going down. We're just staying clear of the tail, man. We don't want to try and, you know, wrestle the dinosaur. We don't want to beat it. We don't want to go up to the dragon and slay it. We're just going to stand over here and watch. Okay. Well, how do you operate an economy? How do you operate as traders, as human beings surviving? Well, you got to use something. Well, I got Karen and Bob Emery on. I met there. They are with DelValleySilver.com. DelValleySilver.com. I got you there, Bob.
This is Karen. This is his wife.
Hi, Karen. Karen, explain for the audience real quick. Tell us what it is that you're doing and how you are operating and how we would make use of what you have to offer in order to barter and trade and have an economy that exists. You know, give us your spiel. Go ahead.
Well, Del Valley Silver, it exists so that we can actually use silver, real money, in our trades. The dollar is deflating so quickly, we're going to end up with so hyperinflation. And with the silver currency that we do offer, 1 ounce, half ounce, and pretty soon quarter ounce rounds, you can barter with that with very little inflation risk. As far as, because silver always is going to be worth something.
Well, our audience understands the value of silver. I want to know how you're introducing it into the. I give you an example for the audience because they weren't there. At Porkfest, you would have, you know, any vendor, you know, T-shirts to, you know, heroes and sandwiches and, you know, trinkets and trash and goodies and all kinds of books and everything were also priced in silver. People were trading silver all over the place. If they were to use your currency, your service, your item of trade, what would they be using?
We have our own Del Valley rounds, which we never price more than $1.50 above spot, which is the price of silver on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And our merchants, they decide how much they want to accept the silver for. I've got like a karate place that accepts it one token per month at $5 over spot. I have another, an auto mechanic that does $5 over the spot price of silver for anything, parts, labor, or anything that he does. I have a gas station that accepts it for $1 over. So it's variable depending on what business, what, you know, what kind of cost ratios they have.
Now, this is in what area you have that you're starting in Delaware Valley area. You're starting locally, you know, and using it as a proof of concept or as an example to the planet. And Delaware Valley, tell me where that is, how long you've been doing it, and what kind of expansion have you had?
Well, Delaware Valley is in the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland type area. We've been in business since last September. That was our very first conference. So we're not even a year. Right now, we're on our way to drive over to the Freedom Fest in Las Vegas. We're having a road trip. We have about 13 or 14 merchants that accept silver right now, most of which are in the Del Valle area, but we have one in Michigan, and we have three of them in New Hampshire already.
And this is something that can be replicated? Are they going to be, you're the central hub of this kind of trade, or are you trying to encourage others to do it, get their own coin? I mean, what is your goal? Is it a money-making venture for you? Are you trying to just get silver into the market? What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to get silver in the market, and we're doing that by having it at very low cost, so everybody can afford it. I charge memberships for our merchants of 10 ounces of silver for 1 year advertising on our site. If anybody refers a merchant, they get 4 ounces to keep to spend within their own community that they're starting up. If they get 6 merchants to sign up, they're considered a hub master, and they get 25 cents per ounce discount on silver so that they can provide their merchants with silver. And business cards, you know, considered a hub master. You've got your own little area of the world.
Go ahead and give out your website so people can go check it out.
Sure. It's www.delvalleysilver.com, and it's D-E-L, only one L.
DelValleySilver.com. Now, the one thing, before I let you go, I just want to make sure that, you know, people understand that this is, you're going at it hard. If you're at Pork Fest and you're going to Freedom Fest, I'll be at Freedom Fest this weekend also, so maybe we'll see each other again. And these are the kind of people that already know what's happening and looking for an opportunity to be able to have an economy after this one goes. Because if they don't, they're going to be offered up. They're going to do a bank holiday. They're going to close. They're going to start confiscating precious metals like they did back in the day. And they're going to say, you're going to have to trade and do and pay and tax and whatever way we say, and it's called the world, oh. And then some people are going to be going, you know what? Maybe not. There, we'll do our own thing. And this is an opportunity for that. The interest in what you're doing has accelerated. People don't care. It's of great interest. What kind of interest level are you getting?
In the freedom movement, it's really accelerated. I sold just at Pork Fest, I sold over $13,000 worth of silver in my first 2 days. We sold out.
Wow. Yeah, this
so,
is.
Yeah.
People know. People know. Just looking at the news in Freedom's Phoenix today, you know. So I'm, I'm hip, you know, I'm with you, sister. Good luck. And I want to make sure that, you know, you have every opportunity to be part of this, because I'll tell you what's going to happen. I saw it in the computer industry in the mid 90s, while the government was sitting there trying to yak about, you know, what standard language everybody's going to use, what standard apps they were going to have, what standard, you know, what kind of plugins they're going to have, you know, they're trying to standardize something. Of course, some lobbyists for some company that wanted it that way, but you know, it just, oh, we'll never figure it out. Fine. A few years later, finally you get what? USB. Okay. Finally you get what? Mm-hmm. DVD. Finally you get what? I mean, you know, the market decides. There will be a lot of places and a lot of opportunities just like yours, and sooner or later there will be hopefully more than one or two or even five, but there will eventually become a consolidation of those that can get served the best at the most efficient cost and the most efficient model, the most efficient and widespread distribution of silver into the market. And when that happens, the people that are ready, the people that know, and certainly it's always spearheaded by the freedom movement, boom, then we have an economy. And the audience, you need to get ready. You need to get informed. And I suggest you just go to DelValleySilver.com as one of your options. You just go and take a look and start learning about all these places, because this is what's coming. I don't think I know. I know. It's called history. Get ready, people. I'm telling you, any other, you got about a minute, you got anything else you want to share with the audience?
Well, I just, you can't find it much cheaper anywhere else. We try to keep it that way on purpose so that everybody can own silver. And also, the Liberty Dollar had a problem with the government, and we made sure that we stayed away from that, those kind of problems. Like, we don't have a dollar sign or dollar on our or a value on any of our tokens. We don't have anything that's government issued like the Eagle or anything that might be construed as government issues. So we're trying to keep it completely as a barter token so that we stay away from competing with the government, so to speak.
Yeah, that was Liberty Dollar just begged for trouble. You know, they knew this was coming. In fact, that was their model. They wanted to. They wanted to, you know, get them. They didn't validate whatever made them feel better unless they got challenged by the government, and they were begging for it. I'm not even sure what their reasoning was, but they got what they wanted. You know, they said, yeah, we're so many dollars. We're going up and put their chest out, and this is what happened. But them going after them was a good example for organizations like DellValleySilver.com. We learned a lesson. We're just going to go silver and just totally bypass the United States government. Hey, thanks for coming on, Karen. I appreciate it. And you guys stay tuned. I got more goodies for you right after the break. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning. Yeah, I get the rejoiner music going. We're still setting up all kinds of computer stuff and everything as we were gone for the weekend. But, you know, we're getting it all set up. We're here. We're getting things going. You know, everybody was using all the equipment and everything last week, having some fun. Thanks to Jet and all the crew for doing a great job. What we're going to go ahead and do is I want to go ahead and lay the groundwork for a lot of things that are coming up, a lot of things that have built up over the last week. Coming in at the top of the hour in studio, we're going to have Michael White. He's going to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court decision to enjoin clean election matching funds here in Arizona. And let me tell you what's going on. It has always been the goal of those in charge to control dissent. You know, if you want to control something, you fund it. Let me give you an example. One of the most powerful ways of challenging the man has been with the arts. One of the most powerful ways of being able to get the people to see what's really going on has been through the arts. One of the most powerful ways to get people to react emotionally, to see your point, to share, to be sympathetic, to be empathetic, to be able to understand your point, the concept, is through the arts. I'll give you an example. Music. Paintings, activists, Gorilla Gonzo on the wall banners, freeway overpasses, slogans, bumper stickers. This is how commercials, YouTubes, the arts. When the arts are turned against you, like in the 60s and 70s, man, it was getting creative, you know. So what happens? Oh, you got to fund it so you can direct it. You can do it that way with sciences. Space travel, technology, schools, education, the money. If you want to control something, fund it. So if you want to have the direction of sitcoms, television, movies, you fund it. Give you an example. During, and it's still going on now. This is, you know, FYI, you know. How do you think it is they'll get some movie will get the cooperation of the Pentagon? What, you think, you know, Hollywood producers got aircraft carriers in their pocket? You know, they get to go on the decks of whatever and launch the great Uber fighter plane, De La, whatever the heck, or go in a hangar with all these, you know, F-22s and 35s sitting around? You know, how do you think that happens? To the cooperation of the government. If you're critical or you're not giving a message in the all-around us versus them kind of, you're not getting help. This is not going to happen. So there is all kinds of subsidies that goes into this kind of stuff. I'll give you an example. During the Clinton administration, they have licensing, you know, they always have, they still do, for television and radio. And you ever hear this, you know, it's late night, you know, and they back in the day when they used to turn off television stations at midnight or one in the morning, you play the Stars and Stripes or America the Beautiful or whatever, and they show the American flag, and we're off. They always say this, broadcasting in the public interest. Who decided what was the public interest? Where does that come from? Why would they even say that? As part of the licensing, they go, well, you're broadcasting in the public interest. Well, what if you're not? And who decides? So what do? They go, you know, we need to have public service announcements. We got to send the king's message out to the peoples. You want permission to be able to use this air, these radio frequencies that we claim because we got bigger guns? What if you got, you know, somebody with a bigger gun, you know, the alien De La Alpha, what you call it, star system comes in, ship, you know, geosynchronous orbit over the United States and say, you know what, Channel 12 is ours. No, it's not. We got a law. Oh, yeah, well, we got a bigger zapper death ray gun. We win. Guess who owns the frequency? They do. See my point? So they come in and they say, these frequencies are ours. We're licensing them to individuals, to whatever. Now, the original, because of the interstate commerce, if it didn't go over a state line, they had no jurisdiction. In fact, this has been arguments that we've been involved in since the 90s, in the early 90s, on pirate radio frequencies and so on. This is what happens. Let's say we're broadcasting at Freedom's Phoenix Studios on frequency 90 point whatever. And we go out. If it doesn't cross a state line, federal government doesn't have jurisdiction. If they go in and they say, okay, we have this federal, even in the federal licensing that they do have, they say, we are here to protect the radio. We have claimed the air, okay? And we're going to protect the licensees from those that would interfere with the other 90-point-something frequency, FM, De La, whatever it is. If you are broadcasting over them, and this used to be a bigger problem before digital, but, you know, now it's you can really fine-tune it. But if you have a signal that's going over someone, you're listening to your favorite rock station, all of a sudden you got talk radio on it, and it keeps going in and out, and that's, you know, hey, man. So they claim a property right to that is licensed to them by the federal government. They'll come in and say two things. One, if you're broadcasting over state lines, or two, if you're interfering with a federal licensed frequency, you know, then they'll claim jurisdiction. What if you're on a frequency and you keep it there? You're broadcasting a Uber power in central part of a state, big states like Arizona, is a lot of geography. And it's not going anywhere near a state or a national border. You're just in the city of Phoenix. You got a million people, 2 million, 3 million that can listen to you. Then what? Do they own it then? Oh, that's already been adjudicated. Well, it keeps going round and round, and the bottom line, no, they don't. They don't have jurisdiction. It doesn't stop them. But the thing is that we are now going to start having these kind of controls that are going to come on us on the internet, and for the same reasons.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down. When the man comes around.
Oh, and he's coming. Coming. Let me tell you where he's going to come again. Where's next? What's the next one he's going to be doing? There is going to be control of your mind that always goes on. You're not allowed to have dissent, okay? Not unless it's controlled. And the one way to control dissent is to control whatever, to fund it. You know, you want to fund it. You know, I want to be able to, you know, the arts are going. If somebody's writing a bunch of music, man, we got to fund that. Somebody's doing television, you know, giving the wrong impression. No, we got to make sure that they run certain kind of subliminal what we want thing. I'll give you an example. During the Clinton administration, they have, you know, broadcasting in the public interest. Okay. So what is that? Well, it's determined by whatever. You do the PSA, public service announcement of, you know, Save the Planet Day Law, whatever reason, what they said, hey. Networks are going, man, it's costing us money. You know, that's advertised, man. We can make it some cash. So they go, you know, I'm going to tell you what you do. You have a sitcom. If you'll put in there a pro-government, anti-drug, education, stay in school, don't question authority, kind of whatever message, we'll give you credit for that by you writing the script in such a way that it's approved by the White House. Or whatever bureaucracy they had, it was the White House, okay? They approve the executive branch of whatever that you're saying, then you are credited towards that, and you get your license continuation renewal without having to justify whatever the public interest is. They put a list. I mean, they'll go, I've been, you know, radio stations, television stations, to get your license renewed. Let me tell you who doesn't get their license agreement and networks, you know, big giant, you know, kind of, you know, rebellion, you know, revolution. You know what? You're not broadcasting in the public's interest. Who decides what that is? Oh, you got a license. The king decides. You get permission from the king. Guess what he does? The king decides what is and is not allowed. You want to do away with the competition from the arts in music, in painting, in bumper stickers, and whatever it is? Fine. You create the endowment for the arts. You create some kind of government funding. Guess what? We're funding whatever we can approve. You haven't heard these congressional hearings about, oh, we can't have that, and we can't have this, and we should be doing that. And so they're arguing over how they're going to redistribute your money to artists that the free market hadn't even determined whether they should even exist or not. No, heck, we're going to subsidize the worst ones that can't get any free market support. They don't even argue the fact of whether they should even be doing it to begin with. It's how they're going to do it. If you got them asking the wrong question, the answer doesn't matter. So you want to control political dissent? What do? Now you fund it. You know, here we're going to be talking about that a lot too over the coming weeks. We're kind of filled up with guests this week, but you know, the first chance I get, we'll get some more different. There's a couple of things I want to do that I want to make sure it's got on my list. And I got producer sitting right here, and I'm saying on a little card, write down these two things. One, Iceland. They're going to be, they so far got so screwed, and they're saying, go away, Mr. Big Man, Europe, U.S., kind of, you know, and all the free marketing server, you want to have your computer-based freaking space station do whatever, come to Iceland. You know, get citizenship. Come over here. You know, we're with you, man. We get away, the heck with all these guys, Iceland. So I want to do Iceland. The other thing is there's a lot of other things, but on this internet, we're going to be focusing on the internet because what they're doing is they want to have government-issued tokens for you to be able to access the internet. You got to get permission. Don't think so? You got to get permission to fly. You got to go in and say, yep, I'm going on this flight. Then Homeland Security determines whether you are allowed. Are you on a no-fly list? Are you on a I-can't-get-on-the-internet list? You understand? Do I have a different level of access for Freedom's Phoenix, for the website? You know, they're already doing this. They're already doing it. Today, you'll see an article that will go up today. It was on InfoWars. They had to where federal computers now are limiting access to certain sites. They're already doing it in New Zealand. They're already doing it in other countries. They're already doing it. Certainly, they're doing it in a lot of Middle East countries. This has already happened. And it's going to the reason the internet, reason the flow, the reason we even know that we got an inkling of kind of how bad it might be in the Gulf is because of the internet. Do you think that the lamestream media, the media that sued last century, they are the ones out there braving the lines of the Coast Guard and the police and the BP security going out and saying, wow, that's a pretty oily pelican. Nope. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. You're going to have tar balls that are going to be washing up on the coast of France eventually. It's a Gulf Stream. There it goes. Heck, they want it to. They need to have a global disaster certainly involved there because this global warming thing isn't working out. You know, I mean, this has been pretty mild summer already, you know, and I'm telling you, man, that thing's not working out. Al Gore, they've been feeding him to the wolves, man. He's done. So now what? You know, after he pawns his Nobel Prize medal, you know, it's what are they going to do then? They don't have global warming. So what? Well, heck, we got a global oil spill. It's going in the streams around. The whole planet's going to be covered in the oil. And gosh darn it, we need to have a global solution, which is cap and trade. Here it comes. What's Rahm Emanuel say? Don't let a good crisis go to waste. Here, it's so freaking obvious to some of us. And where do we get this information? FreedomsPhoenix.com and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And you can declare your independence by what? Not being dependent on them for information. You know, all the stuff that we put up, it's not even really, you know, I count on you to be intelligent enough to see, you know, through the crap. I'll put up what they have. You know, here's what the New York Times says. This is what the Washington Post says. This is what USA Today is doing. You know, it's not original content that we're putting when we do these news links. Now, we have a lot of original content and opinions and the comments on the articles and everything. But a lot of that, go, why'd you put that up? Because it's obvious crap. I want you to see the crap that they're doing. This is going to get a lot worse. It's intentional. It has to. They need it to. What have I been saying for years? Golden Gate Bridge, St. Louis Arch, toast. They need that to go away and do an Al-Qaeda and terrorists and be feared, and this is going, we got to rally together around the flag. Yeehaw, America, MK, America. And then they go, oh, we sly, man. You know, we didn't even have to do something like that. We just got an oil spill. Did they do it on purpose? I don't know. How the heck are you going to know? You got your own little NBC submarine going out there finding out, do you? No. And what's going on the other side? What are they doing now? Iran, they're begging for Iran. Iranian passenger airline jet lands. All of a sudden, I can't remember what country it was, the UK or something. They go, nope, boycott. We can't refuel you. I guess that plane's just sitting there charging rent or something. Passengers, God, sucks to be y'all. I bet you got better get on a traditional, whatever, Western-known kind of Virgin airline or something. You don't get fuel. How many, and you wonder, you know, why? What? Is this like a shock to anybody? And it's coming from the moral high ground credibility of who? The United States? Oh, so you want to control political dissent. You fund whatever. You would think that you'd pull money, you'd boycott. No, heck no. You throw all kinds of money at it. You say, here, we're going to fund you. We're going to fund you. And what's the golden rule? Those who have the goal makes the rules. That's what's going on. That's what we're going to talk about. Our guest at the top of the hour is coming a little early, so we'll get started on it right now. He got the benefit of my rant. That's good. So we have Michael White. Michael White is going to talk to us about, I have him go ahead and tell you who he is and give what for and everything. Now, he's running for state senate here in Legislative District 12. Now, he wants to talk, and we're going to, and maybe we'll talk about, you know, whatever, and I don't care about him. Who are you? I don't care. What I want to talk about is that he made a comment on the U.S. Supreme Court decision that says that Arizona's clean election matching funds is illegal are unconstitutional in the way that they have done it. And there's a lot of different, I say the whole thing sucks, but the one point that they were making is you have an individual go and run for office. I got my own money. I'm good. I got a lot of friends. They're going to support me. I'm fine. I don't want to have all the ties with clean elections because this is what happens. In 2006, I ran for Secretary of State. I go in and I, hey, you know what we're going to do? I just want to know. I got a question to ask. And I talked to the lobbyist, a private interest, you know, a special interest that lobbies for a clean election. Her name is Barbara Klein, I think. I go in and I meet with her and I say, hey, Barbara, you know, word up. I just want to talk to you and everything. I go, I'm asking a question. When you have a sign, you got a big 4x8 sign, political sign up on the side of the road, and it gets towards the election, and they'll have a big black on yellow, like a bumper sticker that goes diagonal corner on the upper left-hand corner, say, endorsed by the Phoenix Police, endorsed by firefighters, endorsed by the city, man, somebody, De La, whatever, endorsed by the Arizona Republic, a newspaper. I'm going, you know, those dudes, that's a private entity. You know, that's a business. But they're not a business. They're a special kind of business. Are they a business or they're not a business? You know, are they a corporation? You know, for profit kind of feel like that. They're a business, okay? What are they, some kind of special arm of the government? Well, yeah, really. But, I mean, you know they're not going to admit it, okay? So I go, so I'm just wondering, is there anywhere, and I knew the answer, of course. So I'm going, is there anywhere in the law where it says, you know, that endorsement, how big it has to be? Does it have to be black on yellow? Does it have to be at a diagonal? Can it be printed on the sign? Does it have to be slapped over? Does it have anything? Well, no. I go, well, then why can't it say endorsed by Napa Auto Parts? Why can't it say endorsed by, you know, whatever? Well, I go, good. That's all I wanted to know. So what did I do? Endorsed by freedomsphoenix.com. You know, and I put it real big. Heck, I'll make it, you know, it was bigger than my name. I put it, you know, I had the question, you know, still voting with a question mark with the V for Vendetta on a black sign. So that's what really got the attention. And I put Secretary of State, ErnestHancock.com, you know, up in the right-hand corner, but big on the bottom, endorsed by freedomsphoenix.com. So what does the Arizona Republic do? They want to interview me, and I'm done with these guys. I've been done with them since 2002. I don't talk to you guys. You know, you don't, whatever. How does it feel? You know, from one, you never print the story, and now you can't get it. You're so last century, the lamestream media. So they, you know, all it does is get you more press, what it really does. But, you know, and we know this. So they come after and they go, well, it says endorsed by Phoenix.com. Of course, they spell it right. And they go, and that's his site, which is, okay, and, you know, did you spell it right? So they go, and they go, Ernie, well, they dissed you. What? You think I didn't know that's what they were going to do? Heck, who do I send the 20 to? So this is just, they're so predictable. So the thing is that we have all these signs they put up the endorsement. They want to control that. They go, oh, no. They couldn't get at me, and I knew what the law was, so what'd they do? I had three checks that I wrote in the entire campaign. One was for signs. One was for something, just piddly stuff. And they audited me. Clean Elections audited my campaign, even though I refused to participate in Clean Elections, because all you have to do is go out and you get so many $5 donations for state legislature. For you, it would be 200 $5 donations, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You do that, and how much would you get?
Well, I signed a $500 waiver that would spend over $500.
If you went and got the Clean Election funds, do you know how much they would give, what it about is for your legislative race?
Yeah.
Your competition is getting?
It's about $30,000, I think.
$30,000 just for the primary?
Right.
Okay, then you make it to general, you get another big giant chunk. That's just for a little state legislative race. It's over $1 million and something for the governor's race. So what happens if you got your own money? If you spend over the amount that they're going to give you from the government anyway, the plan was, fine, you got rich guys coming in, the taxpayer is just going to give his competition as much money as you spend on your own. Oh, you want to control something? Fund it. Oh, we're taking all the special interest out of it. Really? What did you leave? The government is the only special interest. I'm going, are you freaking kidding me? Well, it'll get more people to run. It hasn't. It's been an incumbent protection act, you know, from the beginning. Okay. So it goes to the Supreme Court. They make the decision saying, yeah, this is not, you know, at least this part about keep funding above it, no matter what somebody else spends. You got, you know, violations of free speech all over the place. When we come back, we're going to start the discussion on this. And Mr. White's campaign here locally. Then we'll get in some philosophy and see what kind of communist or fascist he is. Okay. You want to come on the show? You're going to get, I can find out in three questions. That's why I haven't done. He came in a little early at school, but I tell you, this is the prep we're going to do before you came. I said, three questions. We'll find out. I mean, how many does it take? You know, all you got to ask is, hell, you can tell them what the first one is. Proper role of government. What's the proper role of government? What should government be doing? And what do you advocate? Well, you're kind of contradicting yourself on that one, ain't you? Before I even talk. I'm not in the mood. I am not in the mood. It's election cycle. I've gone through this so many times. I'm so sick of politics. So we're going to cut right through it. But he gets to, you know, have his say because he's recommended by a friend that, you know, he has something to say about this clean election. See how principled he is on that and if it applies to his other positions. Because think about it. Government is now the only special interest if they control the funding for campaigning, for ideas, for dissent. Why would somebody run? If the government's doing exactly what they want, they're either, one, you know, just, you know, want to feed at the trough. You know, they didn't get enough attention as youngin' or something. They need to just, you know, have attention. You know, people, I got the most votes and chest out, make them feel better or something, you know. Or they want to defend whatever's happening and maintain it. You know, I mean, who the heck wants to do that? But everybody's always going on change. I want it changed. To what? Why? What are you possibly doing that's going to serve my interest and that of my family and my kids? What? Why? What's your motivation? What do you see coming? How much do you know really is going on? How much do you understand the proper role of government, economics, civil liberties, blah, 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 blah? We're going to find out. And it's going to be, on this show, we'll have, everybody wants to come play. I'm like, fine, bring them on. You know, later I got all kinds of congressional and this and that and everybody. They want to play. You want to access to the audience. You want to do it. You got to go through the libertarian gauntlet. All right? You got to expose yourself. You got to be on MP3 in the archive forever and always. This is what you said. Fair warning. We'll be right back. Oh, come on.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You are listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free. God knows. God knows I want to break free.
Yeah, God knows I want to break free. You know, and a whole bunch of other people too. You've been listening to this radio, you know. I'm just, I'm in the mood. I've been rested, man. I'm rock and rolling and whatnot. I've been reading. You know, I can tell you, I know how Charles Goyette feels, man. You know, he Friday he got to do. I haven't talked to him since I've been back, and he got the broadcast guest host on another station. He finally got back. We made a big deal out of here. Come Charles, he's back on the microphone. I haven't even heard the show yet, but you know, he is. He and I talk. He's just jonesing. He is like, there's so much stuff he wants to have a say on. Well, he wrote the book, The Dollar Meltdown, and he got to have his say on that. And all of a sudden, boom, they're reprinting it in Chinese and Korean. I mean, come on, you know, at New York Times bestseller list. He already sold his second book. It's going to be on freedom. He did the economy thing. Now he's going to go on general aspects of freedom. That's going to be interesting. That, heck, his deadline's not even until next May. You think he might have something to say about, you know, the depression that we go whipping into? The roller coaster down to, yeah, you know, so I get the feeling, you know, I'm all week seeing this new, I'm going, oh my goodness, the stock market's plunged. Finally, I'm going, you know, what have I been saying? Why is it up here? It was down in the 6,000s and all of a sudden it goes, I remember I gave a speech when it was 9,800, you know, I hadn't even hit 10,000 again yet. And I'm going, why? Based on what? What foundation? What's the reasoning? What's the fundamentals here? Just more indebtedness they did to my grandkids and just threw it in there and said, oh, everything's great. Really? Let's ask my grandkid in 20 years. Arr. So I'm just, you know, here it comes. And I've been telling you this. Who else has been telling you? If anybody else has been saying this stuff, yeah, you go, golf clap. What have you done about it? Got food under your bed? Got chick, 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 kids in your backyard? Do you? Huh? Oh man, I have absolutely no sympathy for those that know. You know, that's one thing. You have Gerald Celente. We had him on a week and a half ago, and I don't know if he said it on my show, but he's definitely said it in other places and a lot of other guests I've had. To go, I have no sympathy for. There's enough information out there. If you ask just a question, if you're willing to take and go, you know, just go on the internet and push a button, I mean, you can get the information. What do? Just, you know, regurgitating bullet points that they give to the Fox News desk? Is that it? That's your view of the world? Is that it? You know, there is enough information out. Prepare, not later, in my opinion. All right, Mr. White, you know, we got 1 minute here. I'm going to ask the one question. We'll go in there because we don't talk a lot. We only got a short minute break, so we'll be right back. So I just read the proper role of government is what?
Proper role of government is out of the bedroom, out of the boardroom.
How's that? What the heck does that mean?
Well, that means that government has a very, very limited role in our lives.
Which is what?
Well, protecting our civil liberties, ensuring that you and I have the ability to accumulate wealth without intrusion, keeping up with social order, you know, protecting the citizens of this state.
Am I allowed to protect myself?
Absolutely.
Okay, you know what the proper role of government is for me? It's to disappear. You know, I'm getting that way because it's going to happen anyway. You know, I mean, there's, you know, this is where it goes. You give, you know, delegated authority to someone, they want more delegated. And they start doing more and more and more and more, and they don't stay out of the bedroom, and they don't stay out of the boardroom, and they don't stay out of your life, and they don't stop socially and economically engineering you. So when we come back, we'll get right back into it. We have a short segment. When we come back, we'll get a couple of other questions in them. And then in the following segment from there, oh, we're going to let him dig a hole. Have I warned him? Has he got fair warning? So he gets what he gets, right? Okay, I just want everybody to know this. Now, this is, declare your independence. And you know how you do that? It's real simple. You go like this. Declare my independence. See? And you didn't even need a government form.